Thursday, May 23rd, special common council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll. Here.
Alderman Gabriel.
As excuse.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
As excuse.
Here.
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 We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda, as usual, citizens' comment period. I will remind everybody, 3 minutes apiece, no personal attacks. Come up, give your name and address, and speak your piece. Anyone wishing to speak? The record reflected Alderman Dandrea is here at 6:30.
5:30.
5:33. Sorry. Ms. Mills, 3 minutes.
Judy Mills, 8018 West Wisdom Way, Franklin, Wisconsin. It's my understanding that you're going to give Mr. Zimmerman $20-some million more dollars for this project. And I, as a taxpayer, I work hard for my money. I think most taxpayers do. And I would like an accounting of how he spent the first multi-millions of dollars that you gave him. Because the 22, my understanding is this, you gave him money to make these, to do these apartments and senior housing thing, and he spent it on something else. That's my understanding. So he had enough money to do the whole thing. So I would like, and even if I'm wrong, I'd like to know where he spent all my money and other taxpayers' money. And can I get that?
www.franklinwi.gov. It's all up there. It's all on the city website.
It tells where every penny went?
Mm-hmm.
And is it something I can understand?
I can't account for that. I don't know.
Well, it's my understanding that good government has clean, clear definitions of what they do. So is that something that the average citizen should be able to understand? Who he gave the money to, where it went? Once you gave him the money, what did he do with it?
It's all clear to me, so.
So.
Well, if it's not, call us.
I will. So
City Franklin website.
I'm going to have you find that for me tonight.
Okay. Judy, it's the same website where the agenda is in the minutes that we showed you.
Yeah, I'm going to try to find that one. I'm not good at that, so.
You can always come to the office.
I'll come to the office.
Anyone else? Selridge, good evening.
Hi, Debbie Elrich, 7388 South Trinity Court, Franklin. I have 180 signatures that I would like you to put in tonight's record opposing this project. And I would also like it to be put in the record that I am suggesting that before you do this, that you give the city, the residents, the information and let them do a vote that the citizens can be heard other than here tonight. There are so many people that don't understand what's going on and where the money's going, and I just feel it would be a good thing to take a vote on it. So can I give this to you? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hall. Are you, is that it?
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Bolton.
Kurt Bolton, 8035 West Imperial Drive, Franklin, Wisconsin. I've been here before, and I guess I'm just going to keep doing it. When it comes to TIF districts, I think for industrial TIF districts, I think that makes sense because it does provide jobs for ordinary people that pay family wages. When it comes to residential development, I think that's a very bad idea because there's only cost for the city. people talk about the impact of development and they think it reduces costs, but it doesn't reduce costs. It can only increase costs. At the best, it can help you improve your efficiencies in providing services, but it doesn't change your costs. Otherwise, we wouldn't have any taxes at all because Franklin has grown a lot over the years. I get a little bit frustrated about the whole thing because right now it seems more like the city is willing to bend over for people with plenty of money. You're willing to provide all sorts of money and breaks for people who already have plenty of money. And I don't think that really works out for the best interests of the city. So I guess I'd just like to express my concern and hope that the Common Council does not approve any more TIFs for residential development.
Orville Seymour, 3020 West Acre Avenue. I got a short email I'd like to read here. It's from Supervisor Patty Lawson to Mayor Olson. On Friday, May 3rd, 2019, I called to follow up on a request for information to give you advance notice that a matter pertaining to the City of Franklin will be on Economic and Community Development Committee agenda for May 13th. In the course of our conversation, you treated me in an extremely unprofessional manner by referring to me in the most vulgar terms possible. Your attempt to dismiss and intimidate a fellow elected official was unacceptable. There are important benefits we both want from to come from Franklin only through mutual cooperation. While lacking on your part Friday, I trust that the professionalism necessary for cooperation in the future will be maintained. For the sake of our shared constituents, I will not tolerate anything less. Can you tell us what vulgar words you used, Mr. Mayor?
I did not use any vulgar words.
That's not what she told me. Why would she put this in writing? My understanding is that, I won't say it, but it rhymes with sucker. Now, you drive anything you want from that. Can you also tell us where the Second City Hall is?
There is no Second City Hall.
Oh, that's what you're telling people. Come up to the Second City Hall. Either it's a point after or the umbrella bar, one or the other. Which one is it? That's what you're telling people. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I'm sending my open records request to the wrong city hall. Maybe that's what I got to do. Send it to the umbrella bar or send it to the Port of Point after. I also, since we have a new city logo, I'm going to suggest we have a new city slogan. The first one I would suggest is milking the taxpayers for all can give from you. That would be a good one. Or how about my favorite, and Olson, we trusted, soon will be busted. I like that one too. You know, maybe you'll get this project. Maybe you'll win. But you know what a Pyrrhic victory is? Pyrrhic victory is, for those of you that don't know, the victory that inflicts so much devastating toll on the victor that it's tantamount to defeat. So maybe you'll get this, but it'll probably be a Pyrrhic victory.
Thank you, Mr. Seymour. Anyone else wishes? Mr. Cosby.
Peter Kosovich, 8170 South 28th Street. Been a resident of Franklin since 2001, and I devoted a lot of my time to Franklin as an alderman on the Civic Celebration Committee and other committees over the years. And I've never done it for my own personal gain. I've done it for the best interest of Franklin. I wish I could say the same for the current mayor and common council. I feel that there's too much going on the side here that is not coming up and is not, it's not right. Just to put it mildly, there's things going on the side here that shouldn't be happening. I'm highly opposed to spending city taxpayer dollars to help developers develop their projects, which were funded somewhat, and then there was a limit put on there, and when they exceeded the limit, now they want more. Where does it end? I just think there's too much bending over and kissing to developers and other people that should not be happening. That's not the way the government is intended to run. Thank you.
Mr. Kosovich, anyone else? Anyone else? Seeing no one else rise, I'll close the system. Comment period. Move on to item C1 report. And let the record reflect that Alderman Wilhelm is taking her seat at 534. Okay, we're on the agenda. We're on C1, a resolution approving amendment to the project plan and boundaries for the tax district number 5, City of Franklin, Wisconsin. Ms. Burr.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for your time. Before you, you have just received two updated project plans, one for amending TID 5 and one for approving TID 7. The only differences in the project plans you received tonight from the ones that you received in your packets is the addition of a more accurate and easier to read and understand map about proposed uses in both of the project plans, as well as the dates have been updated, the joint review or revenue board members' names have been updated, and the attorney's letter has been added. Other than that, all of the details on the financials and all of the components of the project plans as you have received them in the past are the same. So that brings us to why you've received the project plans this evening. I have with me Dawn Gunderson from Ehlers and Paul Ratzenberg, the city's finance director and treasurer. And the three of us are prepared to answer any questions you may have about the project plans, about the resolutions before you this evening that we are asking you to approve. And I will stop at this point and see if you have any questions or if you'd like me to continue with any type of formal presentation.
Well, before we move on, you mentioned just now that we just received these project plans. Truth is that we did not just receive these project plans. We've had these project plans for some number of weeks, and that these are just revised.
That is correct. That is correct.
The city attorney.
And at least with regard to the city attorney opinion letter that was delivered last Friday, she was in the common council gathering.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions for staff from the council? Alderman Mayor.
Can you tell us specifically what is different on this than what we received in the packet? I know you went through it, but can you point out specifically?
Okay, in your project plan for tax increment district number 5, pages 18 and 19, 19 and 20 have updated maps of the proposed uses, which show all of the utilities, including the methane, roadwork, etc. And the signed attorney letter is on page 33. And then the dates have been amended on the front cover. And the joint revenue board members have been finalized on the inside front cover. The same changes are also in the TID number 7 project plan, with the exception of the page number for the proposed uses map, and that is on page 18.
So no numbers changed?
No, no numbers changed.
No terms changed?
No terms changed.
Essentially no wording changed?
Correct.
So page, section 5, page 21, what we had before, and this is the first time we're seeing this new one, so I'm at there's a lot more figures on the one that we received tonight in different colors. What's different there?
Are you in number 5 or number 7?
7.
We're doing 5.
We're on 5.
apologize. Yeah, thanks, Mr. Taylor.
On a quick check, my understanding on the all day everybody focused was that all the updates, including the maps, went with the agenda packet last Friday afternoon, and I'm looking at the dates on Section 5. It's May 17th, the same as that.
Right, we have it.
It's colored.
I already said the attorney's letter was there. I thought we got it all done for distribution last Friday afternoon.
That is correct. Just want to verify that it all received the updated one, and that was the one that we received all Friday, what you got today.
Okay, so just to back up here to clarify, what we have in the packet that we've spent time on, there's no difference then? Just the dates you're saying. Okay.
Alderman Wilhelm, then Alderman D'Andrea.
Could we look at District Number 5 document? It's page 4 in the new one. What's the Section 1 Executive Summary? Estimated total project expenditures.
There is no
page 4.
Well, what I mean by the one that I was reading, which has now been colored, so it says the expenditure period for this district terminates on September 6th, 3031. Is that okay? Could we make sure that that gets corrected? And then it's my understanding, reading through these documents, that there's different forms of project cost. One of the things that's discussed a lot is the CDA. I understand this is just for project cost, but is there any discussion that this would be controlled, or any thoughts that this would be controlled by the CDA? It hasn't been. It's been controlled by the council. And I see that it's eligible for that. Is anyone discussing that it would go to the CDA versus the council? Okay. And then as far as the methods of financing that are discussed, it talks about bonds and all the different methods that are in here. Which one of these methods has anything to do with direct general fund taxpayer dollars, if any? Because that was brought up at the microphone, that this is taxpayer dollars. And it's my understanding that development increases in value, and it's that increased taxable value, the developer then pays his tax bill like we do, and then that tax bill that he pays on that increased value pays back that money that the city borrowed. And what I'm hearing from residents is, we're taking money out of the general fund that we collected off their homes and property taxes, and we're paying this directly. So I'd like to find out the separation or the combination of what's going on with that and have it clarified on the record.
Okay, I'll ask Ms. Gunderson to correct me if I make a mistake here, but actually state law allows the Common Council to set the tax levy for the city. And that tax levy is spread across all of the property in the city outside of TID districts. So the increased value in a TID district over time is excluded from the base and the calculation of the tax rate that individual property taxpayers pay. And those levy dollars would not be available to the city at all. All it would do, if that increased base were out there, then the tax dollars would be lower in all the other parts of the city while the district is in existence, because the assumption is this is the only economic tool available to communities, to cities, and as new development
gets created in the district, that new development tax dollars that are paid at the same rate that everybody else pays is used exclusively for the benefit of what is going on in the district. And once all of those costs have been recovered, state law requires the district to close, and then those increased tax dollars become available to reduce the taxes of all the residents, all of the other taxpayers.
Right, which is basically what I'm saying is it's the developer's taxes he pays in on the new assessed value, like my house, I put in all these new improvements, you raise my taxes, my tax bill goes up, developer's tax bill goes up when he makes improvements on the land, he pays more taxes, I'm paying more taxes because I made improvements. It's the same situation, except for my taxes are going in to the revenue and his taxes are going to pay back the money that we're borrowing. It's not the taxes I paid in for my property that are going in there. That's what I'm trying to make the difference in clarification on.
You're absolutely correct. The only dollars that are being directed to the project cost are from the taxes being paid by the development itself, and it's that increased value that's generating that additional tax revenue that's paying for the project cost. I wanted to just kind of follow through on the question about the financing methods. We've listed a lot of different ways that you can finance projects, and we leave those decisions up to the community as the projects are taking place. But in this particular case, we are discussing the issuance of general obligation bonds, which is the cheapest way to finance the project, so it's putting the less cost into that. But you're correct, it's not the city's general fund that's paying that debt, it's the taxes coming from this development that's paying that debt on this.
There seems that message doesn't really seem to be getting out there, and so I feel that's a really important point that we focus on as we're moving through this project.
Yeah, this TID and all TIDs. And the benefit of utilizing TID to do that is it's not just the amount of city taxes, it's the county's taxes and the technical colleges and the other taxing entities. So so if the city's piece of the tax bill is twenty-seven percent, you're getting 100% of the tax bill that's going to this, not just 27%. It's the 27% of every tax bill that comes to support the city's operations, but you're getting 100% of the tax collection on this development to pay for the project cost. And that makes it so financially powerful.
Right. And if the development didn't happen, that money wouldn't be there to pay into that. It would just be the same amount that the land is valued at